All right, we're finishing up our wide receivers preview and all of our position previews, actually. This is Wide Receivers Part 2 on Tuesday, August 18th. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings, the whole gang is here. And we finished our podcast league draft last night. We'll review it tomorrow. Is this still a deep position, wide receiver? What do you guys think?
Definitely.
It's the deepest position in fantasy.
You don't think quarterback is technically deeper? Like for a
splitting hairs, I guess. Sure.
It's definitely deeper compared to running back and tight end.
I think quarterback is deeper than receiver is in a 3-wide receiver league. In a 2-wide receiver league, I would say that receiver is still the deepest position.
Do you think it has gotten shallower with,
yes,
with Parker's injury, with Perryman's injury, with Kevin White's injury? The rookie wide receiver class all of a sudden, ugh.
I'm fairly certain it's gotten more shallow.
To the point where it changes your draft strategy at all?
No, not to the point where it changes my draft strategy.
It's just you're taking different late round flyers now by comparison to maybe a mid round flyer like you would with Parker, Perryman, and White.
Okay, we got through the first 4 rounds of ADP at wide receiver in our first preview in part 1. So we'll pick it up with Andre Johnson at 52 overall and go from there and tell you who we like. Email of the day, though, is from Aaron in Marina Del Rey, California. Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Haven't read as many as we wanted to because of the previews, but we'll be back reading plenty of emails and tweets going forward. I was hoping you guys could comp some of the rookie receivers we may not be familiar with to current NFL players. For example, I picture Devin Funchess as a lumbering possession receiver just because all I know is he played some tight end. Can you tell us what style of player Funchess, Kevin White, Devontae Parker, Tyler Lockett, Rashad Perryman, Philip Dorsett, etc. emulate? Go on,
sure.
Quick go around with these guys. You want to start with Amari Cooper?
Yeah, Amari Cooper. God, he, you know, this is going to be a bad comparison when you think about it, but he reminds me of Justin Blackmon. But it's not Justin Blackmon, the guy who's out of the league because he had problems off the field, but more so the guy who dominated in college, came into the league, wasn't the biggest guy, wasn't the fastest guy, but still was the best, most polished receiver in his draft.
I kind of feel Emmanuel Sanders a little bit. You know, not the fastest guy, but small-ish. Good route runner, good hands. The difference is he's going to a situation right away where he's going to play, whereas Sanders had to kind of earn his reps.
I think, in my opinion, he has closer to Blackman's ceiling than Sanders' ceiling.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying, like, from a physical standpoint.
Okay.
Okay, how about Kevin White? Not that it really matters that much anymore.
Yeah, right now you can compare him to an old man with a cane.
Yeah.
Or a dude with crutches. But you know what? When he gets healthy, I don't know if, I'm looking down my list of receivers to compare him to, and I don't know if there is an easy comparison. Do you guys have a comparison for him?
For Kevin White?
Because I don't want to compare him to Julio Jones just yet. I don't think he's earned that.
I think, and I made this comparison when he was drafted, he reminds me of Odell Beckham. You know, just a guy that can make, you know,
something out of nothing.
Unbelievable catches, can contort his body, you know, certainly, you know, speed-wise, size-wise, but, you know, while Beckham's got bad hamstrings, this guy's got a much worse situation.
How about a taller, slightly bigger Sammy Watkins?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not drafting Kevin White in any leagues other than Keeper or Dynasty?
Yep.
No.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, correct. How about Devontae Parker?
I mean, Parker, you know, the comparison's coming out where A.J. Green, you know, Calvin Johnson. That's big, big shoes for him to have to fill, but, you know, physically, he's in that mold with Julio Jones' feet.
Devin
Funchess.
I don't
know if I see him that good of a receiver to compare him to those guys. He's another tricky one. Yeah, I think he's a little bit better than DeAndre Hopkins was when Hopkins came out.
Devin Funchess.
He's a smaller version of Kelvin Benjamin,
exactly.
Really.
Yeah.
That's basically what he is. He's not as fast. He's not as big. But big catch radius. It's the type of receiver that Cam really needs to succeed.
Rashad Perryman.
He's Torrey Smith, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's the exact guy that he replaced.
He might be better than Torrey Smith, though. He might prove to be significantly better than Torrey Smith by the time it's all done.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Torrey Smith has done exactly what he's been asked to do. And Rashad Perryman right now has to prove, A, he can stay healthy, and B, that he can catch when he's dealing with NFL cornerbacks. Because a guy who's had hand issues to begin with is now going to be battling some of the best of the best, and we'll see how he lives up to it. So I'm optimistic, but, you know, to say he's going to be better than Torrey Smith, he's got a long way to go because Torrey Smith has actually been a pretty damn good receiver.
Philip Dorsett, last one.
What? Last one?
Am I missing a rookie wide receiver?
I thought there was another guy on the list, Tyler Lockett.
Oh, well,
he's... Justin Hardy too, or no?
Okay, fine. We'll do more. Philip Dorsett, why not?
I think they drafted him as a clone of T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
With better hands.
He went in our
probably better routes.
Wow. Come on.
Your Hurricane love is just it's,
I swear to God it's not because it's a Hurricane.
He was a first round pick for crying out loud. Give the guy some credit.
I loved what I saw.
T.Y. Hilton
to,
really good.
To already say he's got better hands than T.Y. Hilton.
He's got better hands than T.Y.
And runs better routes.
And runs better routes. Well, okay, fine. Better hands and runs better routes than when T.Y. Hilton came out.
That's fair.
Is that fair? But, then that's what I mean.
Okay.
If Dave's going over the top with Philip Dorsett, then I'm going over the top with Tyler Lockett, but I'm going to use trivia for his comp.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Philip Dorsett is somewhere between Calvin Johnson and Jerry Rice.
Okay. I think Tyler Lockett's comp is the current active leader in all-purpose yards career.
Steve Smith?
Current, so active.
Right.
In all-purpose yards.
So special teams included.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith.
Hey!
And Steve Smith is a bit of an outlier. I don't know that Tyler Lockett has the special juju that turns Steve Smith into what he is.
I think he's Christian.
Well, okay. I'm not touching that.
Smart move.
Steve Smith, Hall of Famer, yes or no?
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm not sure if he is. That's a good question.
It's tough. It's going to be tough.
That's going to be a tough one.
So actually, all right, I think we're done with receiver comps. Let me ask you this really quickly. I'm not sure if you covered this. I don't think you did on yesterday's excellent podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
Tyler Lockett, with his special teams ability for the Seahawks, does that make the Seahawks DST even better? Like, draft them earlier than you would have originally?
I didn't want to draft them as early as you're going to have to draft them in the first place, so I'm not going to draft them any earlier, no.
They're a top three DST, though, and does it enhance them? Sure. What I'm hoping for is that Lockett doesn't... If let's just say I wanted the Seahawks DST, and I thought that for like the fourth year in a row they'd be amazing, I don't want Lockett to have a big kick return in the preseason, because that's only going to kick up the value of that DST.
No, I hope it does!
Why?
Let people overdraft them.
People are going to overdraft them anyway.
No, but even more! Take him in the fifth round! Go ahead!
What about in leagues where you get points for return yardage? Is Lockett a wide receiver four?
Yeah, he's in that range.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's got speed. There's no question about it.
They're talking about him as their third receiver, and Chris Matthews' shoulder injury is only going to make things better for him.
I mean, their first receiver is Doug Baldwin. He doesn't have to become an elite receiver to all of a sudden be the best receiver on the team.
It's a good thing you mentioned that, though, because I do think that Lockett creates a problem, because now all they have are slot receivers. Because that's what Baldwin's best at, is being a slot receiver. Lockett is a slot receiver.
Best at blocking.
Who?
Doug Baldwin. Like, that's a skill they really value there.
Well, let's look at ADP in just a second after we do injuries, news, and notes. Chris Johnson, signed by the Cardinals, one-year deal. What does this mean for fantasy? Is this bad for Ellington? Bad for David Johnson? What's the deal?
Here he comes, baby. CJ2K.
I mean, if it's bad for anybody, it's bad for David Johnson. Yeah. Andre Ellington's fine. You know, they're
Wait,
upset.
We're not taking Chris Johnson in round two now?
I was shocked that he got drafted in our podcast league.
Now, see, I think in a 14-team league that goes 14 rounds...
Chris Johnson was drafted ahead of Jerick McKinnon.
No, he was taken too early. Yeah. But I think I would have probably taken him in the last round.
I'll clarify that where he was taken should not have happened. As a late-round flyer, absolutely.
It's going to be the guy who recognizes his name and remembers what he did in 2010 that drafts him before the final rounds, if at all. It's a non-guaranteed deal. They could cut him and owe him nothing.
You know, he did have more yards per carry last year than Andre Ellington did.
He did.
And Joique Bell.
That was like the best part of his year last year, was his rushing average.
Yeah.
He had two total touchdowns over like 170 touches.
How many years of the last 6 years has CJ RB1 not been an RB1?
In the last six?
Yeah.
When you refer to him as an RB1, are you talking about like a sandwich, or are you talking
I
about
say
him
one.
As a top 12?
Last year was the only year
in
the last six that he's not been a top 12 running back.
Look, I get drafting him. If he's going to be the you know, number two option there for a guy who's injury prone, then, yeah, he's going to be relevant at some point in theory. right? I mean, it makes sense. Like what you like you said, well, 14 team league, you're going to take Chris Johnson late.
Just to give you an idea, Adam. So we had Pete Prisco on our show Saturday night on the Ion Fantasy Football Radio Show.
Right.
And he was in Arizona, and we know he's got strong ties to the organization. And he said that they were looking at David Johnson to not only play a significant role, but to, you know, push Andre Ellington for touches by the middle of the year. So, you know, I don't think they're giving up on David Johnson yet.
No. And he's going to be back at practice soon. And Ellington looked good in the preseason. This was a pick for depth.
If anything,
this was a signing for depth.
If anything, I think it's a situation where they know that Andre Ellington's injury prone. They know most likely he's not playing more than 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into camp, and all of a sudden David Johnson's got a faulty hamstring. Well, we can't just have those two. We've got to have somebody else.
Could he be the backup to Ellington, meaning that when Ellington goes down, Chris Johnson comes in and David Johnson stays in the role that he earns?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Over the next couple of weeks. That's possible.
One more note. Eric Fisher, left tackle for the Chiefs, out about 2 weeks with an ankle sprain, so that's good news there. He'll be back soon enough.
Yeah, but that offensive line did not look good in the preseason. And if Fisher is going to play at less than 100% all year, that's a problem.
Well, he's going to come back in 2 weeks from a sprained ankle. I'm not going to sit here and assume he's going to play at less than 100%.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
He's been playing at less than 100% since he was drafted.
We know how you feel about Eric Fisher.
Yes. Sorry about my Eric Fisher hate. All right, Andre Johnson is the 18th wide receiver off the board. He is the first one going in round 5. After Andre Johnson, it's Amari Cooper and DeSean Jackson, Sammy Watkins and Golden Tate, and then Julian Edelman. Let's deal with the first few here. Andre Johnson, Amari Cooper. Well, first of all, who do you like better, Johnson or Cooper?
I like Johnson better.
Do you?
I took him. I think we in our draft last night, it went Andre Johnson, and then you took Cooper the very next pick.
Yeah, I go back and forth with them. I feel like Andre's safer in PPR than Cooper is. I think Cooper's got a higher ceiling in standard league. So.
And I think maybe the one bad rap Andre Johnson gets, yes, he's old. And we tend to only think of guys that are young of having high upsides. But playing in that offense with Andrew Luck, he's got an extremely high upside.
Sure, because he's taking over for the Reggie Wayne, Hakeem Nicks spot that combined for almost 200 targets last year. So the workload is going to be, it's going to be big for both of these receivers.
Right.
But I know that Cooper's faster than Johnson.
Uh-huh.
But Johnson is going to be better in the red zone.
Right.
And the Colts are going to be in the red zone far more often than the Raiders are
going to
be there.
But ultimately, it
comes back to me about Cooper just getting more opportunities overall.
Do you think he will, though? You think he'll have more targets than Johnson?
I don't know about getting more targets, but
yes,
he might
have
more
targets.
Catches.
If both play 16 games, he's going to have more targets.
I like Cooper better.
Because you're looking at an offense that's going to be chasing points. The Colts could be sitting on so many leads in the fourth quarter in that terrible division with the way their team is structured.
Yeah.
I mean, they and on top of it, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you about the red zone stuff because I think Andre Johnson is who he is. And it's not like he's a bad receiver. It's not like he's going to be bad in the red zone. But why would they never use him in the red zone in Houston?
Oh, I'm not saying that they won't. I'm saying they'll be in the red zone more often, and that's good for Andre Johnson.
Potentially, that's not
an argument against
Well,
him.
Jamie, can I give a stat really quickly to kind of talk about this red zone production? He actually had the third most targets, Andre Johnson, in the red zone last year, but his production was terrible. Third most targets for wide receivers, and only 12 catches on 26 targets for 3 touchdowns.
His production in the red zone will be much better with Andrew Luck than with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, Jamie, what were you going to say about it?
No, that's my point.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. He has had a many seasons, Andre Johnson, with low touchdowns, but why? It just doesn't make any sense. He's big. He's got great hands. Why wouldn't he be great in the red zone? And will this finally be the year where his talents are realized as he's in a great offense?
Well, I mean, you say he's had many seasons with low touchdowns, but he's also had many seasons without 16 games. Going back, he had 8 and 9 games. That's spectacular.
Yes.
8 and 16 games, 9 and 16 games. Those are fine.
But for an elite wide receiver like Andre Johnson was, you know, we're not talking about 12, 13 touchdowns like you see from Dez and Demaryius. He's never had 10.
Well, he's not Dez or Demaryius.
He was.
Yeah.
I know he isn't now, so it's probably not.
I feel like when he was Dez and Demaryius, the league wasn't the same.
All right. That's a fair point. So Cooper and Johnson are obviously very close, and we don't want them as our number one. We want them as our number two, right?
Right.
Okay. So after those guys, we have DeSean Jackson, 56th overall. Heath, I feel like this is value that you kind of like for DeSean Jackson, right?
Well, I don't generally see DeSean Jackson going quite that early. I don't feel like right now.
The shoulder injuries, I think, pushed his value down.
Because I feel like he's going a full round later than Johnson a lot of times.
I don't know if I see that.
But I think, in the fifth round.
They're close to each other now.
Oh, what's his ADP? You probably have in front of you.
56.
And Johnson's is 52nd.
Right.
Right. So that's only four picks back. Yeah, I feel like that's great value.
Does DeSean Jackson have the upside that Andre Johnson and Amari Cooper have? What about Sammy Watkins right behind him?
I don't think he does catch-wise.
Right.
Let's just put a blanket number up there of 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. Could they all get it? Sure. Cooper's going to need a lot of catches to get there, if you ask me, and I think Andre Johnson will too. And frankly, I don't know if Andre Johnson can get to 1,000. I think the 7 touchdowns are more likely. But Jackson, to me, could certainly have a year like he had last year,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even a little bit worse than that, but still be productive. The thing with DeSean is, you know that he's a boom or bust guy. You're going to start him every week, and you're either going to get 2 or 3 points from him or 14 or 15 points. And it's just a matter of whether or not he can connect for a big play. I don't know. That's why I'm definitely taking Cooper over him. I think if you're looking at it purely statistically, yardage and touchdowns, I think he can beat Andre Johnson. In a PPR league, there's no way I'll take Andre Johnson.
Yeah, Jackson was 16th
Cooper.
Best.
Cooper's out of both of them.
Jackson was 16th at the wide receiver position in standard leagues, 22nd in PPR. He's a guy that does have a big difference in his value in depending on the format. Sammy Watkins, feel like this is a guy we haven't talked too much about up to this point, and we've been podcasting all year. When he got a lot of targets, Sammy Watkins played pretty well. I can look up the exact numbers.
He was on a great pace early in the season.
Yeah, so he only caught 65 of 128 targets, but when Sammy Watkins got 9 or more targets, he averaged 10 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues, and he did that in 7 games, 9 or more targets in 7 games. Could he have a huge rookie season? Because it seems like he is, in my opinion, being kind of overlooked.
I think the window on him having a huge rookie season has closed.
Unless you consider 65 season? Catches for 982 yards and 6 touchdowns a huge rookie season.
Did I say rookie season? I obviously meant second season. Could have a big...
Obviously.
Yeah, soft.
Here's some things that stand out to me about Sammy Watkins. Only 4 games last year with 5 or more catches. The fact that the Buffalo quarterback situation is a mess that might end up going to Tyrod Taylor really makes me nervous. The fact that they added Percy Harvin and Charles Clay and LeSean McCoy. A lot of weapons. So there's questions about just how many targets he's going to end up getting and how big of a role he'll be. And this is a Rex Ryan, Greg Olsen production. Rex Ryan, I don't think, did he ever have a 1,000-yard receiver in New York? He might have had one. I don't know if Cotchery's year was when he was there. I don't think it was. And then in San Francisco, Crabtree, Vernon Davis, those guys had some 1,000-yard seasons with Greg Roman. But I think if you go into your draft expecting what you got last year from Sammy Watkins, you won't be disappointed. If you're expecting more, I think you will be.
He's fallen to a good spot. So you're getting him as your third receiver. It's definitely worth the upside. You got to worry about 2 games against Darrell Revis, 2 games against Brent Grimes. That's not going to be fun. So and then the quarterback situation on a run first offense.
Well,
if you just understand what he is and who he is, it's good. It's a good value for you.
And I feel like when we talk about wide receiver maybe feeling like it's more thin this year, or like Adam was saying, has it thinned out? This is why. Because you say you're getting him as your third receiver. He's going as the 21st or 22nd receiver off the board. But we still need 2 or 3 more receivers to have a wide receiver twos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying there's necessarily, when I look at the guys being taken right after him, there's not a lot of guys I want to jump up and say, oh, these guys are definitely better than Sammy Watkins.
But not better, but better situations. Look, if you tell me Jarvis Landry and Sammy Watkins have the same quarterback, I'm taking Sammy Watkins 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me Martavis Bryant and Sammy Watkins have the same quarterback, I'm taking Sammy Watkins 10 out of 10. And those are two very good receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Sammy Watkins physically is better than both.
Agreed.
And so they're just in better situations. So I would rather have those other two guys. But
you'd rather have Martavis in PPR than Sammy Watkins?
No. Yes.
Would you rather have Landry in standard than Sammy Watkins?
Yes, at this point. Okay. I would. Just my personal feeling because of the quarterback. The one thing about Sammy Watkins, which I kind of think could happen, is he could be DeAndre Hopkins. He could also, in a bad quarterback situation, just be that good that he makes his situation better. But I'd rather gamble on Hopkins because I've seen it, as opposed to Watkins where it happened.
Okay, we'll look at the next group of wide receivers now. And I want to know if there are any in this group that you target that you typically draft or typically avoid. And it starts with Golden Tate, who's going 59th overall. So we're at the end of the fifth round in a 12-team league, going into the sixth. Golden Tate, Julian Edelman, Martavis Bryant, Keenan Allen, and Jarvis Landry. Golden Tate, Edelman, Martavis Bryant, Keenan Allen, and Jarvis Landry.
Well, the two I love the best, I've made it clear, are Martavis Bryant for sure, and then Jarvis Landry. And I think that Landry, especially in a PPR league, will be a monster for you. He is currently the de facto number one receiver for the Dolphins. I think he's going to keep that role for a good portion of the season because of what happened with Devontae Parker. Bryant is not going to be the number one receiver for Pittsburgh, but I think by the end of the year, he will be a very nice number two receiver for Pittsburgh. Lots of touchdowns, hopefully a good amount of yardage with it. Questions about how many catches he'll have, and I don't think he keeps up the pace of a touchdown every three receptions like he had last year. But I think he'll be very, very helpful for your fantasy team. Those are the two that I'm absolutely targeting, with Edelman a third.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't end up, I mean, you just read off four or five receivers. I don't end up with these four or five receivers very often. But of the ones I do, it's Martavis Bryant in standard leagues or Jarvis Landry in PPR. I don't know that I have any exposure to Golden Tate, Julian Edelman, or Keenan Allen this year.
I can't believe, Jamie, maybe you can get on board here. I can't believe you're just overlooking Julian Edelman like that. Come on. I can make a case if you'd like, or Jamie, you can go for it.
Well, I think if you're in the pro Julian Edelman, camp, you're looking at a guy that's been great with Tom Brady. He's been great since, you know, Wes Welker's been gone, and he is going to be around 100 catches. He's going to be around 11 to 1200 yards. He's going to be around six touchdowns. That's kind of what he is. Is that exciting to you? In a standard league, in a PPR league, he's a must. I mean, you know, you can't overlook 100 catches by any receiver, and he's going to be there. He was there last year if he didn't have the concussion at the end of the season. But if he's gone for four games, you don't replicate that rapport with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's just impossible. Tom Brady right. knows everywhere that Julian Edelman's going to be and vice versa. Julian Edelman knows where Tom Brady wants him. So he loses a lot of value if Brady's suspension is upheld.
Okay.
Here's the nice thing about Edelman, Adam.
Yeah.
His average the last two seasons, and he's only missed two games over the last two seasons, about 95 catches, 1,000 yards, and five touchdowns.
Right. That's great.
Yeah. Listen, and that's the number that you've got to think of with him.
And where does that rank in standard scoring leagues? Well, in PPR, he was number 14 in 2013 when he played in 16 games, and he was number 18 in standard scoring that year. And last year, Edelman actually averaged more fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues than he did in 2013. So you could argue that he performed like a top 20 wide receiver on a per game basis 2 years in a row in 2013 and 2014. But, I understand the Brady argument. And maybe that's part of the concerns for the drafters as well.
Look, he's falling to great value. He's really falling to good value. And I think you just have to understand what you're getting with him. And, you know, does he have a higher ceiling, let's say, than Martavis Bryant? That's kind of, I think, the way you have to approach it.
Okay, so moving past.
Or somebody like that, excuse me.
Well, Keenan Allen we haven't talked about, actually. What the heck happened to Keenan Allen last year, and will he rebound?
I felt like after Keenan Allen's rookie year, he just had the best year of his career. Well, and I still feel like that.
Only you had been on the podcast.
He can never get back.
I don't think he may get almost to that point. I don't think he's a guy where he had that rookie year and he's going to even get better as he gets older. I think that was the best Keenan Allen gets.
There's so much to say about him, positively and negatively, that it's an interesting study. And I think if we almost put everything out on the table, everybody will be able to come away with the parts that they like best.
Yeah.
There have only been like 8 or 9 times since the year 2000 where right. a rookie receiver had the year that Keenan Allen had.
Right.
And in so many of those cases, I think 6 of them.
Can you give some examples?
The player, Roy Williams, Lee Evans, Mike Williams, not the fat one in Detroit, but the other one in Tampa Bay. Big rookie year.
Yeah.
Totally fall off the map the second year. And they bounce back for an even bigger year, their third year. And then after that, they fade off into the sunset.
Okay.
So maybe Allen falls into that. And I think maybe what happens there is that a player learns after that second year, oh, crap, I can't do what I did my rookie year. I have to get better in different ways. And they get their act together for their third year to try and put it all together. You can go ahead and make the next point about Keenan Allen. I just think that that's a really interesting factor as far as like the study goes on rookie receivers
right.
that have a big year. I just don't know if it's going to for sure apply to Keenan Allen. I do know that he's made improvements in his game this offseason.
What you said about him coming off his rookie season, I almost feel like that's how Mike McCoy felt as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've spoke to Mike McCoy at the owners' meetings the last two seasons. And after the big rookie year, I said, how do you keep Keenan Allen at this level and how does he improve? And he said, the one thing that sticks with me with what Mike McCoy said is he's got to understand he's got a target on his back now and everyone is coming for him. How does he improve his own game? How does he make his game on the field translate to, you know, staying at that level when everybody's gunning for him? And we saw it didn't happen. And then I asked Mike McCoy this year, how do you get Keenan Allen back to that level as rookie? And he said, he automatically spun it to where boasting that we don't really have a number one guy. We had four receivers. He was so proud of the fact that they had four receivers over 700 receiving yards. And I think it's kind of telling that Allen spent the offseason getting in better shape. As Dave said, he made some changes to his game. You know how I feel about third-year receivers, and this kind of falls in line of a guy that has a chance to ascend to a little bit better heights. And I really think that all the attention right now is from the fantasy community is going towards Stevie Johnson. If you hear any analyst talk, I'm looking for Stevie Johnson with late-round picks. Yep. Stevie Johnson could be back. He was in Buffalo. Stevie Johnson. Well, the last time Antonio Gates wasn't at 100% or missed some time was 2 years ago, and that was Keenan Allen's best year. So we could see a situation where Keenan Allen really does take advantage of it, and he did still lead this team in targets last season as well.
Well, and he had six more catches last year than he did his rookie year.
His yards per catch went they tanked.
Terrible. But you know who else was not healthy in 2013? That was Malcolm Floyd. He played two games that year.
Yep.
So, you know, that could be a big factor too. He led the Chargers in receiving last year. So is that part of the reason why Keenan Allen didn't produce last year?
It's a big part of it. Yeah. He was the only show in town as a rookie.
Yeah.
What were his targets like? Does anybody have that?
104 as a rookie in 15 games, 121 last year.
Okay. And remember his rookie year, he didn't really get started until week four, week five.
Mm-hmm. And he only played 14 games last year. So 121 targets in 14 games for Keenan Allen. Do you consider him high upside guy but also high floor? I mean, low
no,
floor?
No, I don't really at all. I feel like he's the exact opposite. Like, I feel like he's probably going to be a wide receiver three, but okay. I don't really have a whole lot of hope that he's going to be better than that.
He's in that mix of potential number two, number three receivers.
This is another situation. If you put Sammy Watkins and Keenan Allen if you flip-flop their
teams, my gosh, yes.
Sammy Watkins would be a top 10 receiver.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Keenan Allen would be still.
Moving down the list here in ADP, we're at 77th overall. Jeremy Maclin, Brandon Marshall, Roddy White, Mike Wallace. And then we've got
these
a big gap.
These are the
gap.
Guys that for some reason I end up with more of than the guys we just talked about.
They're the guys you settle for.
They're the guys
you
I
win in other directions with your earlier picks, and you need something stable at wide receiver.
Although since we passed DeSean Jackson, if you look at all the receivers we talked about since then, and you get to Brandon Marshall, I'm not so sure that I don't feel as confident in Marshall being a wide receiver two this year as any of those guys.
You know, he's in a situation where the quarterbacks, you know, going to focus on him.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Fitzpatrick's got such a history of that. It's not a bad gamble.
He's the best gamble of that group.
Yeah. And you're getting him, what, in the seventh round?
Who's the worst gamble of that group?
What's that?
Who's the worst gamble of that group if Brandon Marshall is
again?
The best? Jeremy Maclin, Marshall, Roddy White, and Mike Wallace.
I would say Mike Wallace, but man, I don't feel
Roddy
good about
White's a second.
I would.
Oh,
go,
really? You've got Maclin.
I don't feel good about Jeremy Maclin.
See,
either.
I think Maclin is like second best by default.
Yeah, I don't like any of these guys personally. Marshall to me is the best.
They're all nice guys.
Yeah,
I'd have lunch with them.
Look, if Roddy White plays 16 games, he's going to produce close to top 24 guy just because of the offense he plays in. So I don't have a problem gambling on him. But Wallace is so intriguing because I like Teddy Bridgewater and I like this offense. And I as much as I like Charles Johnson, Mike Wallace is the proven guy.
Dave, of those four guys, White, Wallace, Marshall, and Maclin, who would you most want to have lunch with?
Probably Maclin would probably be the one. I think that would be the most pleasant lunch.
Okay.
I think I'd have a real interesting discussion with Brandon Marshall, but things could turn south there pretty quickly. Mike Wallace probably wouldn't even show up. And Roddy would be interesting too, but I think Macklin would probably be the
best. See, I think if it's an off the record event.
Oh, then Marshall would be.
Brandon Marshall's number one.
Yeah.
If he knows that he can say whatever he wants.
And Macklin would be like dead last.
Yes.
Too.
No.
Right. You're getting the same Macklin whether it's on the record or off the record. Nice guy, either way.
Okay. Good to know.
And where are we going for lunch?
I mean, I'm sure it's pizza based on all the haikus, but we'll go down now 12 draft spots after Mike Wallace before another wide receiver comes off the board, and it's a rookie. Oh, I didn't even comp this one. Nelson Agholor, 94th overall. And then Vincent Jackson, 94th, also about the same ADP. Michael Floyd, Steve Smith, Victor Cruz. Nelson Agholor, Vincent Jackson, Michael Floyd, Steve Smith, Victor Cruz. Who are you looking at in this group that you like?
Does anybody else feel the same way as me that I'd rather wait around for this group than the group before?
I even want to wait another to the next group. He hasn't mentioned some guys that I really like.
Yeah. I agree. There's some names that he hasn't mentioned as well. But I kind of like this group.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot better. I think there's more upside, more intrigue, more interesting names here than there was, or were rather, with the previous group.
Well, who in particular? If all those guys were on the board, Agholor, Vincent Jackson, Michael Floyd, Steve Smith, Victor Cruz, who are your two favorites? Everybody give your two favorites from that group of five.
Jackson, just because I think by default he can get some good numbers. Although after watching Winston play, I might adjust for that. And Agholor.
Agholor is my favorite. It's not close.
Not close. Okay.
Yeah.
So you think he puts up similar numbers to Jordan Matthews from last year?
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
Matthews.
He might be able to exceed those numbers, actually.
Don't disagree.
If he's on the outside and playing a lot, he could beat those. Could he be, and we talked about this earlier in the offseason, could he end up being the best receiver in Philadelphia if he's playing on the outside?
Not if Matthews is healthy.
But what if Matthews is in the slot and he's in that same
Doesn't matter. He's
I don't think
around
that matters. I mean, he could
I
be.
Love drafting both of these guys. Yeah. I love that plan.
Yeah, Matthews was the number 24 wide receiver in standard last year, number 25 in PPR, but it took him a little while to get going.
Yeah,
it took Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, and then he was averaging about 10 fantasy points per game last half of the season, which would definitely be a top, I think about top 20, somewhere between 20 and 15 overall, in standard scoring leagues. All right, so we like Nelson Agholor. Steve Smith fell really late in our podcast league draft last year, and with the injury to Perryman, is he just going to accumulate big numbers this year, Steve Smith? Fairly big numbers?
I don't know about big numbers, but I think he's probably a value there.
And how do you value Victor Cruz, who's going 98th overall?
He's such a wild card.
He says he's 100%. We're going to see him in the preseason, so he'll be less of a wild card in about a week or two.
Now let's get to the group that Jamie wanted to analyze, starting at pick 100. Anquan Boldin, Allen Robinson.
There we go.
That's one.
Yep.
All right. Why so gung-ho on Allen Robinson? Let's just stop there, because he didn't score touchdowns last year. He wasn't really that good last year. I think the guy's going a little crazy here.
Well, he's basically a solid wide receiver three when he played. Borderline wide receiver two, without touchdowns. And we've always, I mean, anytime we get a guy that scored a whole bunch of touchdowns last year relative to his other production, we say, you hate to count on those touchdowns because touchdowns are so unpredictable. So if a guy scored not very many touchdowns relative to his production, shouldn't we think, you know, he's probably got more upside than what he showed last year?
Well, yeah, and Jacksonville had the second fewest passing touchdowns in the NFL last year, so hopefully that goes up. I guess if I had a concern, it's just, I don't know if Blake Bortles is good. I think he could be good, but they also have Allen Hurns, who is the only player who caught more than two touchdowns last year. Marquise Lee is good. I mean, they have mouths to feed, and now they have Julius Thomas. So, can Allen Robinson really take that step that you guys want to see him take?
I think he's going to end up being the best receiver there. But it's going to be because he gets the most targets and does the most with them.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good, polished receiver. He is not a big play receiver. He's not going to do the things that Allen Hurns can do. Or, you know, indirectly what Julius Thomas can do. He's kind of a hybrid of the two of them. But one who will get the most targets and the most opportunities. Here's my favorite stat about Allen Robinson, and this is why I really like taking him in PPR leagues. Forget about week one, but from week two and the nine games after when he was healthy, he averaged over five catches and 61 yards per game. That's a great starting point. And if he can stay healthy, and I don't think that that's that big of an if, then you're talking about 90 catches by the end of the year. 16 times 5 is 90, right?
Yes.
No, it's 80.
No, it's 80.
80.
It's 80.
Why did I think it was 90?
I was actually
I'm having a bad day.
I was looking at our projections on our website for Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got him projected, not we personally, but we
the projections on the site.
Yes, 79 catches, 907 yards, 4 touchdowns.
I think the catches could be higher. I think the yardage is right on, and I think he could probably tack on one more touchdown.
And he's being drafted as the 37th wide receiver off the board. So it's not like we're saying he has to break out and be a wide receiver 2 to be a good value here. If he's a solid wide receiver 3, then he was a good pick there.
Right, but you really want to wait and pass up guys like Vincent Jackson, Michael Floyd, Steve Smith, Victor Cruz to take Allen Robinson? Is he in their weight class?
Yeah, for me he is. And for some people, he might be ahead of them.
I think he's definitely in that weight class. If Victor Cruz is 100%, I'm not sure he can be as good as Victor Cruz.
Rashad Perryman, his ADP is 108. You think that should go down?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so he's beginning of the 10th round in a 12-team league. Kevin White is falling. Brandon LaFell, it's starting to thin out a little bit here as we get to round 10.
You got two more spots, and then you got another good receiver.
Yeah, Brandon LaFell, Larry Fitzgerald, and Charles Johnson. Before we get to Charles Johnson, I know you guys love him. Just give me your take right now on August 18th, with a lot of time left, on the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver situation, because within 30 picks, 20 picks, 30 picks, Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown are all being selected. 20 picks, actually.
You know, they all have the chance to play better than they did a year ago, and that's because they're going to have a healthy quarterback. And you look at what their numbers were, maybe not John Brown as much, because I think probably his best games came without Carson Palmer, to be honest with you. But you look at what Floyd was doing when Palmer was healthy early in the season, and you definitely look at what Larry Fitzgerald did when Palmer was healthy. And if those project over 16 games, I don't have it in front of me, you're going to see much better than where they're going, by far.
And who's your favorite?
John Brown.
Wow.
I think at their draft position, I would agree with it. I'm not sure if I could get all three of them at the exact same point that I choose John Brown over the other two, but the fact that John Brown's going, almost a full round after Fitzgerald and 2 rounds after Michael Floyd,
Oh, my gosh. And he might be their best receiver by the end of the year. He's the fastest. He's the youngest. He's certainly the quickest. He's got 2 hands that are perfectly fine, no injuries there. And he's not 30-some-odd years old.
Is he just a deep ball threat, though, John Brown?
I think he was used that way last year. I think this year you'll see more of him.
Quick pause, everybody. Time to talk about FanDuel, because week 1 is approaching, and that means it's time to start playing Daily Fantasy again. FanDuel is awesome. You are going to love it. Get on there right now. Now's the best time to get set up and get a leg up on the competition. It's your year to dominate. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football. More winners, more payouts than any other site. And get this, they're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. And I know you want to get in on that. Use our offer code CBSPOD when you sign up. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Sign up on FanDuel.com. Use the offer code CBSPOD. You'll do a few things. You will show FanDuel that you listen to this podcast and that advertising works. And you will get a great discount. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. A bonus of up to $200. Not exactly a discount, but a bonus, let's call it that. Up to $200 gets earned as you play. Use the offer code CBSPOD. Back to ADP. All right, LaFell, Larry Fitzgerald, Charles Johnson. Who likes Charles Johnson better than Mike Wallace?
Me.
Hey. Okay. So what do you expect from him this year at 115th overall right now in ADP?
This is one of those, I almost feel like it's a little bit of a leap of faith. Based on what Norv says and based on glimpses of what we saw last year. It's not like he came on the scene like gangbusters last year. He really only had a couple of big games. He had one game with 100 and a touchdown. That came in early December, and then after that he didn't do a whole lot else. One game with 87 yards, one game with 52 yards and a touchdown. It's an upside play. And at the point where you're getting him in your drafts, at the ADP that he's at, why not take him there, if not even a little bit higher? Because he's got that potential for big plays and also to take a short catch to the house. I think he's their most explosive receiver.
Who else could come out of nowhere? Where I want to make sure we get to everybody that we want to talk about. Who could kind of come out of nowhere? I'm looking at Marcus Colston, and I'm not a huge believer. I don't know if you guys are, but last 5 games of the season, he was actually quite good.
He was so broke down for most of that year.
It's so funny because the reports out of New Orleans are so all over the map with him, from he's not going to play as much to he's going to lead them in red zone targets. You know, it's like so funny depending on what you read from the reporters there. I have no problem taking that late round flyer on him because he's still a guy that Drew Brees likes. He's still a guy that Sean Payton, I think, is going to need. He did take a pay cut to stay there, so clearly I'm sure he's looking at this as somewhat of a motivation type season to get back to, you know, being considered one of the better receivers in the NFL. He's not going to get there, but why not? You know, I was looking at him in our 14-team draft last night for sure.
Torrey Smith, Terrence Williams, Garcon, Kendall Wright, Decker, Devontae Adams, Doug Baldwin, Percy Harvin, Devontae Parker, 141st overall. That one is crazy.
Oh, my God. That's great value. And so is Devontae Adams.
Are we sure we're going to see Devontae Parker in, like, the first half of the season?
First half? I feel like
he's just now starting to run.
Yeah.
That seems like a long ways away from playing football.
In this spot, though, it's worth it.
Right. Because what are you doing? You're drafting him just to see where he's at after the first. He might start the season on reserve PUP.
Right.
So then if you draft him, you got to wait the 6 weeks for him.
Oh, you're cutting him.
I think if it's at that point, you're cutting him. Unless you've got no one else that you want to pick up, in which case you're just waiting to find somebody to break out. And then Parker is who you're cutting.
Devontae Adams, you think going too late?
One guy you mentioned, I think, in PPR leagues that could be, I don't know if it's completely sneaky, but could be a wide receiver 3 is Kendall Wright.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Well, someone's got to break out in Tennessee.
Right.
The way Mariota is throwing and what his potential is, you would think that it would be Wright.
Would you rather have Kendall Wright or Devontae Parker? Or Devontae Adams?
Still Adams for me. I really liked how much they were in 3 receiver sets in the opening drive. They played, you know, what was it, 33 offensive plays or offensive snaps they got in the first quarter?
Yeah.
See, I think
so. You just want pieces of that offense.
Yes. I think the difference for me with Wright and Adams, it really depends on how my draft has gone to that point. If I've got 3 receivers that I feel really good about, and especially if one of them is Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson, then I'm taking Devontae Adams. If I've gone running back heavy and I've already got my quarterback and tight end and I'm weak at receiver and I need somebody that I feel like is a better bet to be a wide receiver 3, maybe a little bit more consistency, I'd rather have Kendall Wright.
I don't think Adams is a bad pick either in that situation.
Though, okay.
As somebody, because you're taking a chance. And really, that's what any pick after round 8.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing. No one laments about, oh man, I wasted my 9th round pick on this or that. No one thinks that way.
Right.
Or at least you shouldn't. So if you're getting Devontae Adams, you should probably try to get Devontae Adams and Kendall Wright if you're, you know, looking at your receivers and feeling a little disappointed. Get them both.
I'll read some more names for you guys, and one of those names will be Devin Funchess, but just looking at the rest of the ADP. Cody Latimer, Eddie Royal, Kenny Stills, Dorial Green-Beckham, Philip Dorsett, Michael Crabtree, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Quick, Marvin Jones, Steve Johnson, Greg Jennings, Devin Funchess, Marcus Wheaton. Who are some guys in that group that you might consider taking?
I really like Eddie Royal.
Yep.
Just the opportunity right now for him is getting bigger by the minute.
Stevie Johnson, Cody Latimer, those are 2 names that stood out to me.
Would you take Eddie Royal over Devontae Parker?
Yes.
We're getting in PPR, yes. In standard, we're getting there.
I'm there already.
You're there?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you feel, do you feel that Devontae Parker could be the closest thing to Odell Beckham this year? Just in terms of
he
draft
can, guys? But I mean, the difference with Beckham is look what was around Beckham in that offense. Look what's around Parker.
I don't really think what's around Parker is so great.
I think you're discounting what Jordan Cameron and Jarvis Landry
could I think they're all good. I think Parker, and you know how much I love Lamar Miller. I don't think he's a great player. I think he's a good player. I think Tannehill is a good player. Parker is the guy who has the potential to be a great player in that offense.
Okay, but we're talking about the Giants. What receiver on the Giants was as good as Jarvis Landry?
Well, Reuben Randle actually had a very nice finish to the season.
Yeah, but that's almost by default because there was nobody else there.
They again, like I said on our first wide receiver preview, they threw 42 times a game last
and
half
you think
of the year.
The Dolphins are going to do that?
No, I'm not. I shouldn't have said Odell Beckham. What I meant was late round pick, you wait a little while, and then he becomes must start for you. That's what I meant. I don't think Eddie Royal has the same potential that Devontae Parker has. If I'm going to take a late round flyer on somebody, it's not going to be a guy that I want to start in week 1.
You're saying Parker has more upside.
Of course,
I don't disagree with that, but I'm still taking Royal because I think what you're hoping for is you're looking at a guy in Parker. He could be fantastic. He could also be, as Dave said, out for 6 weeks. If we get closer to the season, I have no problem changing my tune. But right now, I'm looking at who's got the more upside today. For me, it's Eddie Royal.
I think if you're really excited about his upside, you're probably going to be able to pick him up off the waiver wire in a month.
It's possible.
Parker. Mm-hmm.
And what about Reuben Randle, by the way? I don't see him get drafted ever.
No, way he he's finished. Got knee tendonitis. That's not a good thing.
Well, a lot of guys are
I mean, where are the targets right going now? When everybody's healthy for the Giants?
He'll get like four a game.
No, I don't know. I don't
You're
know.
Saying more?
Than four targets a game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With everybody healthy.
I would think so.
Has he increased his percentage of routes run correctly?
James, I think apparently, James Jones yes. can take his job. I know I'm like the only James Jones fan in America.
No, I think James Jones is a better receiver than
I think
Reuben
James
Randle.
Jones could take his job. He knows this offense.
Yes, yeah. He has been
fine.
Better.
He could take Reuben Randle's job.
A lot of people should be able to take Reuben Randle's job. He has all the, not all. I think a higher percentage than any other player besides Eli Manning, he is responsible for the Eli Manning face and the bad things that happened.
Yeah,
to Eli.
I don't disagree with that. But
if I was Eli Manning, I would never throw the football to that guy.
A guy who had over 130 receiving yards each of the last two games probably deserves some mention on the podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Especially if he plays for the Giants.
Absolutely.
No, I don't care. Shut up.
Welcome to CBS Sports Podcast, where we talk Giants and Hurricanes more than anybody else.
Shut up. No, not true. Not true at all. And this season.
Yeah.
No, that's ridiculous. Run your fantasy football league your way. With CBS Sports Commissioner, just go to CBSSports.com/Miami Hurricanes. Sign up for CBS Sports Commissioner. No. CBSSports.com/play. You guys are supposed to laugh at that joke. CBS
well,
Sports
what I thought was funny was just thinking about, and I know we're not going to cover this till tomorrow, so this is just kind of a tease, but hearing you say the words, run your CBS Sports League your way.
Mm-hmm.
You really exhibited that last night.
You know what? I'm not going to apologize at all for being a good commissioner and making sure everybody
terrible
got the players
night.
They wanted.
You were a terrible commissioner last night.
I know you're joking.
No, you were. You took it to the account the needs of one compared to the needs of many.
Yeah, you.
No.
Who's the needs of one?
You were drafting for one owner who could not make it.
I was not drafting for him. I was he could make it. He got kicked out of the room. And I sent him an email, hey, who do you want here? Because I wanted to make sure the guy liked his team.
That's a different story. If you were making picks that he wanted, but at one point you were saying, I'm going to take for him here so he does not get stuck with X.
I didn't take anyone that I didn't ask him about. I made that clear. And also, I delayed the draft 20 minutes for one person. Who was that one person?
Well, I was there much sooner than 20 minutes.
And also, one of the owners disappeared for a while and came back and said, why did you take Joe Flacco for me, Adam?
No, that I didn't take Joe Flacco for anyone. That was an
and then
auto
he
pick.
Kept stopping the draft so that to allow people to make to catch up and make picks. So you're putting the needs of one ahead of the needs of many.
First of all, I stopped the draft because people were auto picking and they didn't want to, and I wanted to make sure everybody had the players they liked. I think that's a very nice thing to do.
For one.
But
not
it
many.
It wasn't for just one guy, it was for a few people. And you are in no position to complain. I delayed the draft 20 minutes for you, James.
You did. You were very helpful, and I appreciate that. But we all wanted the draft at 8:30 anyway.
He sounds like he's about to break here.
No, I don't understand why. Wouldn't you do the same thing?
He does.
Wouldn't you do the same thing for your friends?
No, you're not supposed to stop when he's
All right. Final question.
You call him a communist.
Final question. If you were commissioner of a league and your friends started auto-picking, what would you do?
Laugh at them.
Depends what the circumstances are.
They got kicked out. They lost internet connection. Their app crashed. I don't know.
Yeah, they're screwed.
What round is it?
It was like the eighth round and later.
Yeah, we're moving on.
All right, fine. I was trying to be nice. This is the podcast league. I want everybody to have a good time. Sorry for being so courteous.
You're a good party host, not so good as a commissioner.
Here are some wide receiver questions.
And I don't think think that was necessarily the biggest controversy of your commission.
What was it?
Well, the fact that we had a trade where two teams exchanged draft picks completely, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Two teams agreed they wanted to do that. And then 30 minutes later, after the trade's been announced, two other teams announced they'd like to do the same thing, and you make up a rule that only Dave and Jamie can do that?
That
happened?
No.
Yes.
No, it didn't happen at
all. Adam, what are you doing?
Wait,
no, it didn't.
Honestly, Heath, you are completely making that up. That did not happen at all.
I've got
all.
An email trail that says it happened.
No. I said that as a joke. I said, speaking for Adam, he said this is vetoed because we did it.
Damn you, Heath. You're just ruining my reputation, like, everywhere.
Jamie said it, not me.
Well, pick up on the sarcasm, my man.
Aren't you guys going to be hosting a radio show together for 2 hours in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a must listen.
Should be called the USSR.
Yes. All right, some wide receiver questions here from, and we got a nice poem to finish things off. Another guy who hates me, so this should be good for the three.
Nobody
of you.
Hates you. You're the best, Adam.
Yeah.
Yesterday was terrible without you here.
Yesterday was actually a little bit too good. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, can they screw up just like once or twice?
Well, we did. We got to complain about the microphones.
Oh, perfect. All right. Question from Fredo. Is it okay to go running back heavy after getting one stud wide receiver? Like have Dez Bryant, then wait till round six to get my next wide receiver, like a Landry.
Yes, there is no problem with that.
It's ideal.
I don't know if I would call it ideal. I would say it's one way you could go.
Okay. From Johnny C. Of these older wide receivers, who will be the most productive in a PPR league? Steve Smith, Larry Fitzgerald, Victor Cruz, or Anquan Boldin?
Smith.
I feel like I want to bet on Cruz.
I feel like I would probably bet on Cruz.
All right. From Steven. When drafting, do you care about injury risk less with wide receivers than running backs since they are easier to replace, like Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Kyle Lopez, do you worry about Evans after seeing how Winston played?
Not yet.
If Winston keeps coming out like this, and he might because this is how he played in college, then, yeah, there's going to be some missed opportunities for Evans.
I'm a little bit worried, but not enough to where I've necessarily changed. I'm concerned.
I had a guy who would know who told me that Winston's been much sharper in practice than he was in that game. So it's just a matter of him translating.
Which, in fairness, it would be hard to be less sharp than he was in that game.
Yes.
That's not overreact, though. It's one preseason, first preseason game.
Look, you can't really judge him completely in that offense completely. I mean, we know they pump in crowd noise in Atlanta. He was all flustered. I mean,
in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. They pump in crowd noise.
They had their draft pick taken away for it.
Where have you been?
He didn't play Atlanta.
James Winston played Mariota.
Ding.
I feel bad like going along with the joke. Jamie led me astray.
Now he will play in Atlanta this year.
Yes.
And I'm sure it'll sound like this.
Anyway, he plays Mariota in week one. All right. Tennessee, Tampa Bay.
Rookie quarterback bowl. Yeah.
All right, Michael Jacobson, please make Jamie and Dave pick between Jordan Matthews and Brandon Cooks in a 10-team league, standard scoring.
Jamie, if it's up to me and I've got to pick between these two, I'm taking Brandon Cooks. I think there's more upside, more chance at a big year in a high-powered passing offense with a great quarterback.
Same thing you said, just switch the names.
Dan Phillips, who do you target when you get bonuses for longer touchdowns?
Could you actually hear us like slamming the table?
No.
We're banging our hands on the table.
No, you got to pump in the crowd noise more. Who do you target when you want long bonus points for longer touchdowns?
Deep threat receivers.
Yeah,
Deshaun
name a few.
Jackson, Torrey Smith,
Rashad One Knee Perryman.
When he hops for deep touchdown.
Not Chiefs receivers.
Texas Bruins 67. Name a few late round lotto ticket wide receivers, maybe potential keepers for 2016.
Phil Dorsett?
Yeah. Devontae Adams? Maybe not as much.
Cody Latimer?
DGB.
I was about to say.
Beckham.
Is Jalen Strong on any radar?
He's just got to beat out those veterans. He's got these annoying veterans that will have like
They like him. They like him a lot. And it's just a matter of, as Dave said, you know, they're in a situation where defense is amazing. If they can get their offense to score 20-some-odd points, which is going to be a challenge without Foster there, they're going to win a lot of games. But they're not going to take chances and make mistakes, and that's where I think you lose a little bit with Strong because Washington, I would assume, is a better blocker. You lose a little bit because of what Schwartz is able to do in the slot. But you're going to see Jalen Strong be one of those guys as the year goes on where his certainly his playing time and his snap count is going
to
increase.
I think I might try to devise a strategy where the defense scores 20 points a game. That seems more likely.
Well, J.J. Watt will do it probably. How many games does J.J. Watt score 2 touchdowns on his own? Does he do it at all?
This year?
Yeah.
No.
One offensive, one defense.
Has he ever done 1 and 1 in the same game? I'm not sure. He might have done it once, but I don't remember.
I would put it at 1.5 is the over-under.
Did you see him throw the ball into the upper deck?
He's a freak.
It was unbelievable. He threw the ball from the field to a fan in the first row of the upper deck with a perfect spiral. That is a beast throw. Michael Vick did it in the Gatorade commercial, and that's the only other time I've seen that.
They really should consider using him more as a tight end. Like, Jamie did a blog about this after he went to Richmond. They should use him on third downs.
Yeah, but you just risk the chance of him getting hurt.
Yeah, how is he going to get hurt?
No one could hurt him.
Never.
Okay.
Do you know what your cousin?
Do you see what he eats?
Yes.
I'm jealous.
What was it like? Was it like 5 or 6,000 calories a day or something?
9,000 calories a day.
I do too. I just don't work out.
He eats 2 breakfasts, 10 eggs over the course of 2 breakfasts.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, I like eggs.
Wow. Last one here from Brent. I think Kamar Aiken has potential as a lower end wide receiver too. Agree or disagree?
Wow. I do not. I disagree.
He's not a bad flyer.
As a lower end wide receiver too?
No.
One of the top 24 receivers in the NFL.
No. But if you're like in our 14 team league, you're going to see guys like Kamar Aiken be added off waivers at some point during the course of leagues that size,
maybe,
especially PPR leagues.
Maybe by lower end wide receiver two, he meant NFL wise. Like he's the lower end wide receiver
two. That's
on
a very
team.
Good, very fair point.
And in that case, I would say he possibly could be.
Yeah. I mean, look, Dave, you love Mark Trestman as much as anybody. His offense has been very good everywhere he's gone. Who is going to catch the ball on this team? ARP Smith or who else?
You realize Steve Smith is younger than us.
It doesn't matter. NFL-wise, he's 1,000.
Yeah. Is he really younger than us? I feel like he's the same age.
He might not be younger than you. You're what, 34?
I am 36.
So you're the same age as you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to read a poem to finish the show.
He's a month younger than me. Everyone's younger than me. It's official.
Not us. Jamie and I are older than you.
Yeah, okay. Adam's younger than you.
So thanks for making us feel better.
I am younger than you. People were a little upset with me because I didn't read all 1,300 haikus that were submitted. And I apologize.
Understandably. I mean, if you're going to have a competition like this, I don't know how you can not judge all the entrants.
Thank you for not reading all 1,300 haikus.
It was hard. I tried as hard as I could, but I couldn't get to everything.
We did. So, I'll tell you one thing, though. The first day, when they started rolling in, we read probably all those.
Yeah, and they
were
amazing.
I personally read 400 to 500 haikus.
Wow.
I read more than that. I just didn't read 1,300.
I might have read 5.
I bet if you had divided them up, because you and I probably read 300 of the same ones. If you would have just managed the email system.
So we all read 300?
So we all read 300. We could have read them all.
Let me tell you something that wasn't going to happen. Dave and Jamie each reading 300 haikus. There's no way.
If this was a legitimate competition, Dave obviously would not have done it, but I would have committed to 300.
If there was like a real legitimate prize.
There was. Drafting leagues with us.
Yeah, that's
for people, that's a prize.
That's not a.
Have you seen the complaints about people that didn't get in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a prize.
All right. So then let me read this poem. It's from Mark. Mark from None of Your Business, because you clearly don't care about your listeners and probably don't read this anyway.
What?
Here we go. There once was a host of a podcast. I listened to his every broadcast. Haikus were the request. I submitted my best. He stopped reading them very fast. I followed the rule to not look like a fool. Podcast League was the subject, so I wouldn't be a reject. I was going to take everyone to school. Adam ignored people's work. He can be such a jerk. People take their time and submitted a rhyme. I hope Joseph Randall's knee goes berserk.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe my ears. I realized my worst fears. A limerick was chosen. I sat there frozen and drowned myself in some beers. With a different rhyme scheme, I would have been given a team. This podcast wasn't fair, you hairy, hairy bear. Thanks for squashing my dream. I listened to Adam squawk when I could listen to some rock. Heath, Jamie, and Dave, you're all still my fave. I will fast forward when I hear Adam talk. Make the rules more clear and less complaints you will hear. I would have burnt you like toast. Heath should be the new host. This better get me a team for next year.
Maybe wow, I think we should maybe just give him Adam's team for this year.
It's not
was
very
it written
good.
By Shel Silverstein? Like that was
fantastic.
That was fun.
It was very good.
I want to read that to my kids.
That was better than any haiku or email we chose to be in the league.
Hey, let's start up another podcast league. What do you guys say?
I think you should have Heath take over Nando's role, and you guys should do the rejects league.
I'm good.
After we just crushed him for being a bad commissioner, I don't know if he's in a hurry.
I'll run it.
Heath, if you want to run a podcast rejects league, I'll be in it with you.
Okay, I'll think about it. Okay.
Now everybody, it's all on Heath, so don't blame me if it doesn't happen. Thank you guys. Done with the position previews. Tomorrow we'll look at our 14-team PPR podcast league and talk more just about drafting in deeper leagues and drafting in PPR leagues in general.
Whoa, Adam, hold the phone. Oh. There's been an NFL trade.
I forgot about this. Yeah, go ahead.
The Patriots and the 49ers have agreed to a deal where the 49ers are sending tight end Asante Cleveland to the Patriots for offensive lineman Jordan Devi. And you know the most important part about this trade. Adam.
I do, yeah. I don't know if Jamie and Heath do, but I certainly do.
Where did Asante Cleveland go to college?
The U.
11 catches in 3 years.
Is that it? You're kidding me. Oh, huh? In the NFL.
No, in college.
We stopped recording, right?
There's no way that's true. We should have stopped recording.
More Hurricane yards and more Giants than anybody else.
Okay, that's it for today's show. Thank you to all of you guys out there for listening.
Thank you, Commissioner Azer.
You're very welcome. I'm Adam Azer for Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Talk to you tomorrow.
Go Giants.